This series presents information based in part on theory and conjecture. The producer's purpose is to suggest some possible explanations, but not necessarily the only ones, to the mysteries we will examine.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a bonus episode of The Paranormal Pulse. I'm your host, Lance Phillip, and with me is my co-host, Chris Bruno.
Hey.
So this
Yay,
is
a bonus episode. This is lucky number 13.
Absolutely. This is a bonus episode, and it's coming to you earlier than our regular rotation because we have a great interview that's coming up, and we really want to get that out there right away. And following up a great interview last week with Grant Wilson, and this week we have as our guest. Tell us, Chris.
We have Blair Murphy. He's one of the owners of the Grand Midway Hotel in Winbar, Pennsylvania. Winbar, excuse me. Say it wrong like 12 times. Winbar, Pennsylvania. This is a very old, built in the 1880s, hotel that has had quite a bit of activity, reported, documented. And, you know, there's some shows like Ghost Adventurers and Haunted Collector and Paranormal State. They're all chomping at the bit to get at this property. I heard, rumored, well, through the interview, something about Ghost Adventurers coming up. And we'll talk about that more in the interview. You'll hear me speaking with Blair Murphy, the owner of the Grand Midway Hotel. You can find this hotel also online at www.grandmidwayhotel.com. Real simple to get to.
And
there's so much more than just it being paranormal, too. There's so much about this building and the owner himself and how he acquired the place. It's just such a cool story.
Absolutely. And I'm excited because we're kind of flipping the page on this one because usually I do the interviews. So
yeah.
I'm anxious to hear how it went.
Yeah, I think it went very well, and I'm looking forward to Blair and his family of artists and everybody else who knows about the Grand Midway to listen in on the podcast tonight. So I'm excited.
I am too. It sounds great, especially you know my art background. So it's kind of real, and the paranormal background, obviously, and it's really an interesting place. So really looking forward to hearing that.
Oh yeah, it's going to be good. Also, we're going to talk about paranormal in the news. As we've been on Facebook, we're both avid Facebook users to a fault. I admit it's an addiction somewhat.
I'm a Facebook whore, I admit it.
Yeah, you are. We both are. But you tend to find all these great stories, and they're like documented stories. These aren't made up from the Weekly World News, and yes, I'm sorry, I don't mean to slander the paper, but
do you mean Bat Boy's not real?
Well, I don't know. He sold a lot of posters. But but I got to tell you, very interesting stories. I didn't read them completely because I want to hear the story and give you guys a genuine reaction to these stories. We'll talk about them coming up soon. And also, we're going to talk about EKG's future investigation at Fort Mifflin near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and that should be really interesting as well. I can't wait to hear the results of this, but I know you've done some research on Fort Mifflin, and looking forward to you sharing that with us, Lance.
Absolutely. That should be, I can't wait for that trip, actually. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be good. So if you want to, first, I think we should say, yes, bonus episode, lucky number 13. Glad for you to be here with us, but no listener questions this week either because of the interviews. And I think that's a good thing. These are great interviews. We'd love to hear your listener questions about the interview afterward. If you have any questions for the guest that night, for example, if you have any further questions for Grant Wilson or any questions for Blair Murphy after tonight's show, feel free to ask us that too, because I know I'm invited to have a future interview, and I'd love to talk to Blair again, maybe with your listener questions. So contact us right on Facebook, since we're all there anyway, at Paranormal Pulse Podcast. It's our page. Like it, share it with your friends, have them like it. You can listen to the podcast right there, and you can post your question right on the wall. There's a phone number, which I always give to Lance because I never remember it, because I don't have to call it. But we want you to call it. So what's the number, Lance?
It's 805-633-0935. And what that is, that's our comment and question hotline. What you do is you call up, you state your name, where you're calling from, and then just ask your question. We'll put it on the air. For the next episode, we're going back to listener questions. So if you want to hear your question on the air, just call that number. Again, it's 805-633-0935. And state your name, where you're calling from and your question. We'll get that on the air and get that answered. And if your type doesn't want to be heard on the air, you can still send those questions over on our Facebook page. You can send them over on our EKG Facebook page. Either one is fine. You can direct message us. That's fine as well. So, yeah, you can find us that way. And again, we'll put those questions out there and get them answered for you.
Yay. All right. So I think the first thing that we're going to talk about, I'm going to throw this to you, is how about we talk about the paranormal in the news?
Well, there have been some stories that hit this last couple of weeks. Out in Santee, California, on May 7th, a woman named Ellen Henry took an interesting photograph. She's part of the Santee Historical Society located in San Diego County. And she was taking a picture of the historical building called the Edgemore Barn. And while she snapped a picture, in the left-hand side of the photo is a silver disc-like object.
Oh, I'm looking at the picture now.
Yeah, it looks
interesting.
I'll tell you, it doesn't look Photoshopped to me. It looks pretty authentic. It got a lot of media coverage. The other thing was that there were other people in the area who reported seeing it, which is always a good thing because it's hard to pull a hoax that way, you know?
Yeah.
And this is
wasn't like a stray frisbee from the neighbor's yard or anything like that.
No,
I mean, just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, no. I mean, obviously, I wasn't there. I don't know. I'm just going by the stories that have been on the news and whatnot. It was reported ABC News had covered it out, the ABC local news out in San Diego. It became a pretty big story out there, and it wound up being being covered in Huffington Post, amongst other places too. A lot of other news sources had reported it. And what we're going to do is we're going to put all the links to the stories we're talking about tonight on our Paranormal Pulse Podbean page, which is where you can reach our archived episodes as well. But what I like to do is under the episode preview, I like to put the links. So that way you can go right there and bring up the stories if you want to see these photos as well.
Now, it's really cool when you're listening and you can interact with the story that way. So, yeah, definitely. You got to check out the pictures while we're talking about the story.
And
so the Edgemore is an interesting place all on its own.
Absolutely, because the Edgemore, it's a museum now, and it recently celebrated its 100th birthday. And it was once part of a hospital facility, and it's actually gained a big reputation for paranormal activity of ghost sightings. So this is something interesting. You know, there's a lot of cross theories about ghosts being connected to aliens coming through different dimensions. Who knows? You know,
that is an interesting point of view.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting theory that's been brought up a lot, and it's just funny. A place that's, you know, well known for ghost sightings, all of a sudden there's a UFO sighting by a little old lady too, who really wouldn't have anything to gain because she doesn't own the building. It's not like she can make money off of this, you know.
True.
So,
well, I'm looking at the picture, and it does look metallic of sorts. It looks more toy kind of like though. And that just, you know, it's very simple. The lines are very simple.
But the only thing is, if you kind of look at the trajectory of it in the photo and how far back, it would have to be a really large toy.
Yeah.
You know, it would have to be, you know,
I'm not saying it's
huge.
Not a UFO. I'm just, by the picture, you know, all I know of is...
Right, right.
Rationalizing it. Playing devil's advocate.
No, absolutely. And you know what? That's the best way to do it. That's how we investigate. We play devil's advocate. But it's an interesting story, you know?
It is an interesting story. You have another interesting story about Bigfoot that I'd love to know a little bit more about. You started to talk about it off air, and I went, no. Don't tell me anymore.
Well, this was a fascinating article I found. It's called Bigfoot Head Changes Hands.
This is on Cryptomundo.
Yes, yes.
It's a cryptid world. How interesting. Okay, go
Absolutely.
ahead.
And it's called the Sugar Flat Road Creature. And what it is, they have the head of a supposed Bigfoot. And for a while, it was on display. And what's happening is the Chattanooga Ghost Tours, they are actually leasing this head from its current owner to put in their new tourist attraction, okay? Which is going to be like a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum, okay? That sort of thing. And they're going to put it in the museum as the main attraction. They're leasing it. They're leasing it with the option to buy. That's which I think is really funny, you know.
That's ridiculous. I love it. I can see by this head, the Bigfoot head, that Bigfoot and a Yeti could most positively be the same cryptid.
Oh, absolutely.
They're wasting an option to buy. Oh, my God.
It's the Chattanooga Ghost Tours.
The truth is you can sell anything as long as you know, everything's worth something if you have somebody to buy it.
Yeah, and what they're doing is, again, they're putting it in the shop to be a main tourist attraction. They're going to put posters in the window. And the shop, I love the name of the shop. It's the Little Curiosity Shop. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's great.
I would be anxious to see what else they have in their shop, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
That'll be a road trip. But
Looking at the lower photo of the Bigfoot head, and what is that behind it? A bear?
Yep, it looks like a bear of some sort. Taxidermy
in this store.
Yeah, yeah. So, with that being said, you know, they're gonna put a giant poster in the windows, and they're thinking if that doesn't attract tourists, nothing will. So that's really the second story that's come around. That's a fun one, an interesting one.
Indeed. Okay, so the last story, you know, I've heard this story I do know a little bit about that you sent me, also from the Huffington Post UK edition. This is an interesting story that I heard from people who were not into the paranormal just because of the nature of the story. So why don't you just throw it out there, Lance? Tell us what it's about.
I'll read you the headline. Ghost hunting. Yep. Ghost hunting dad sets up video camera, films his girlfriend having sex with his underage son.
Oh, my God.
So apparently over in jolly old England, there is a paranormal investigator who is setting up cameras around his home to capture suspected paranormal activity.
Little did he know.
What he didn't expect was to find his 28-year-old wife having sex with his 16-year-old son.
Well, so was he married or was this his girlfriend? It's his girlfriend in this one. I think that makes a little bit of a difference.
Yes, you're right.
Not it's a just, lot. Yeah,
no,
but a little bit.
Yeah, no, you are correct. It is his girlfriend.
Okay. In my societal eye, it makes a little tiny bit of difference that it's a girlfriend and not a wife, because that would be her stepson. Ew. Mm-hmm.
Well, and also,
not
right.
Not that this is better because he's 16, but he's probably like, yeah, I'm a stud. Too bad you got caught by Pop, pal.
Yeah, and the whole thing is she's in a lot of trouble because the age of consent over there in Tasmania is 17. He's only 16. So she has charges against her now.
Oh, wow. Duh.
Yep, absolutely. You know, and of course she
it's
has...
Just poor judgment.
Well, yeah, and of course now she's released a statement saying she's ashamed and embarrassed.
As she should be.
Yep, I guess that's what she had told the New York Daily News.
Ashamed and embarrassed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, there's not a lot known about...
Oh, my God, wait, I just read this quote. Okay, so just for a second, the Tasmanian Mercury, which I guess is a newspaper over there, quotes the Crown Prosecutor Jackie Harnett as saying, quote, although the pair had previously had a strained relationship, and this is referring to the girlfriend and the son, tickling led to kissing and then to intercourse.
Yes. And
tickling led to intercourse is really what she's saying. That's now, ridiculous.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's funny. They don't know much about the ghostly activity. There's actually a belief that possibly the cameras really weren't set up to be to capture ghosts, that maybe it was he was suspicious of the girlfriend. In fact, the article actually quotes Alexandra Holzer, who we all know is the daughter of famed paranormal investigator Hans Holzer, where she's quoted as saying, maybe he used the paranormal investigation as an excuse because he thought something was up, or maybe he really thought it was a ghost. So there's a suspicion
well,
right there.
Well, she just said it could be one or the other. Well, we know that already. But yeah,
right.
It most definitely could have been a cover.
Absolutely. But I like the fact that they brought in a well-known paranormal investigator to comment on this, you know?
Yeah, so, quote.
Absolutely. And again, we'll have these articles posted on our Podbean page, which is our main website. And you'll go there. You'll be able to follow the links, and it'll be great. You can go see the photos. You can read the article and get a laugh for yourself. But that is what was in the paranormal news this week.
That's fantastic. just so you know, you may hear a little air blowing in the background. Normally it's much quieter when we record, but I'm sorry. It's been extremely hot in northern New Jersey this past week, and so we're just trying to level out the temperature so we're not spontaneously sweating.
Yeah, well, it's the weather's been ridiculous here.
It causes
the folks who aren't here
sorry.
In New Jersey, the weather has just been nuts. We went from 90 degrees heat to frost warnings back to 90 degrees all within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just the last few days have been rainy and sticky and, you know, and it, the humidity's up and it's hot and it's just miserable. So, yeah, no.
It's crazy hot.
Run the air conditioner.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yay. So that very interesting stuff going on in the paranormal news. Why don't you weigh in on it? Let us know what you think about those stories. Any comments, any questions? Obviously, you know, we'll answer them to the best of our ability, but you want to just spar about what's going on in the news in the paranormal world? Hit us up on Facebook, post it on our webpage, call our phone number. That's all we're asking. We'd love to chat with you. Well, next up, we're going to talk to Lance, the head of EKG, woo, East Coast Ghost, and their upcoming investigation at Fort Mifflin in Pennsylvania. That's coming up next.
Just relax. We are now checking your paranormal pulse.
Okay, folks, we are back and we are ready to talk about EKG's upcoming trip to Fort Mifflin.
First, if you want to find EKG, you can find us on Facebook right quick. It's at Facebook. It's East Coast Ghost. East Coast with a K, Ghost. You can check out our team page there. Go ahead, Lance. Sorry, had to interrupt.
Oh, that's fine. Never mind promoting. We never mind when we promote EKG. You know. Well, we're going on a trip to Fort Mifflin. We're going in a couple weeks. And what they're doing, it's very interesting. Fort Mifflin has embraced the paranormal. Obviously, ghost hunters have been there. Ghost Lab has been there. And, you know, and a lot of investigators. But they do some paranormal nights, but they're doing something that I think is great. It's a paranormal family night. And it's...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's an inexpensive day. What they're doing is they're allowing children 8 years old and older to go out with their parents, and they're going to do a little seminar on how to ghost hunt. And then what they're going to do is take people out to the hot spots of the fort to do, you know, a short investigation. That's going to be fun. We're going to participate in that. But we're going to go there a little bit earlier. We're actually going to take a tour of the fort, because the thing about Fort Mifflin is the majority of the activity that's been recorded there is during the day.
Sure.
Unlike a lot of other places. And it makes sense if you think about it. It was a Revolutionary War fort that was built in 1771. And then it went on to serve in the Civil War. And then World War II, until it was decommissioned much later on. If you think about it, in the early wars, the Revolutionary War and the Civil War, they didn't fight at night. They didn't have the capability of fighting at night. All those battles
right.
were done during the day. So
yeah.
it would make sense that activity would take place in the day, you know, at the fort. Now, the one good thing about it is there's a lot of the fort that's underground. So even though it's daytime, you're in total darkness. Well, not total
wow.
darkness, but you're in the dark. So
sure.
you kind of get the nighttime experience, but during the day with the activity. So it's going to be an interesting thing. We're going to, obviously, you know us, we're going to have our ghost hunting equipment, you know, in our pockets. And whenever there's going to be opportunities, we're going to do, you know, EVP sessions, photos, and all that kind of stuff. And
oh, yeah.
And it's such a big place that you can literally go off on your own and not see other people. It's that kind of place. And we're really looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be a fun trip. But the thing I find is great. Like, you have an opportunity. You have two daughters. You can bring them with you, and they can mm-hmm. kind of get a feel of what you do. So that way they know, hey, this is what mom's doing late at night out, you know.
When mom's out all night, she's not out drinking, I swear. Well, Family Ghost Hunt is Sunday, June 9th from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. If you're curious about ghosts, you want to learn the basics about paranormal investigation techniques and all that good stuff. As Lance was saying earlier, children ages 8 and up can go. It's really appropriate. Prices are decent, although advanced registration is required. So you want to go to fortmifflin.us. And check out their events page. You can book your tickets there, what have you. No, we're not getting any kickbacks for this. I just think it's the right thing to do. It's a cool idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's great is that, you know, beside the paranormal nights, and they have, you know, they have programs. They bring the Boy Scouts in, stay overnight, and, you know, and do some ghost hunting. In fact, our friends at NJ Paranormal were just up there with the Boy Scouts 2 weeks ago, I believe. And they
cool.
were up there, and they were doing, you know, a ghost hunt there, which is kind of cool. But they have a lot of historical events.
Oh,
they have...
there's so much stuff going on. I see one the day before. The really cool stuff, they have that one event right before the family ghost hunt Sunday, June 9th. They have on Saturday, the War of 1812, America's Second War for Independence. They're doing, a reenactment tours? They're just celebrating, I guess. Unique anniversary event in Philadelphia area, recruiting for the Fort Mifflin Rifle Regiment, drills, weapons, demonstrations, guided tours, just a jam-packed full day from 10 till 4. Why not stay the weekend and do both things? How cool would that be?
Absolutely. And then, you know, they have, you know, on the 12th of July, they have a Paranormal Friday. And those,
I like it.
Yeah, those sound like fun events.
And then, golf outings.
Yeah, there's a lot of activity that goes on there. I mean, it's if you're a history buff, it's a great place to be, you know.
Oh, sure.
And again, if you're,
I'm just cruising around on the website here, and again, it's fortmifflin.us, so if you want to check it out, do it. Check it out. There's some really cool stuff. They have full garb reenactments. They have a Civil War weekend. Let's see. In July, they have Freedom Blast, World War II that they look at.
Right.
And August, they have Pirate Day.
Arrgh.
I love it.
And then they have things like Sleep with the Ghosts, where it's a guided tour of the fort. And then they give you an overview of paranormal investigation techniques. And what they do is small group investigations. And they're pretty cool. You get to, you know, camp out and sleep overnight in the fort. So it's really kind of cool.
That's very exciting. I'm so glad to see this happening, and hopefully some more known historical landmarks with known paranormal activity will give in. I don't want to say give in, that's not right, but will embrace the whole paranormal community and start helping out and, you know, I guess catering to us a little bit.
I mean, and that's the thing. There are, especially for some reason, Pennsylvania has a bunch of them. You know, you have Eastern State, which, you know, has embraced the paranormal. You have the Carbon County Jail, which has embraced the paranormal, and you can do investigations there. You know, there's places around the Jim Thorpe area. There's a ton of places.
There's a ton of them. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's in demand because people are opening their eyes and broadening their minds, and so it, you know, paranormal does scope across all kinds of ethnic barriers. It's amazing how many people believe in ghosts and are afraid to admit it. But I wanted to mention too, if you do go to Fort Mifflin, if you heard about it here, mention it to them. We'll ask. It would be cool to see how many of you guys go and listen to our show and then also go and visit the locations that we talk about. It would just be very cool feedback, in my opinion.
Now, you know, I read constantly, and I found an interesting paranormal tidbit this week that something I never knew before. Now, we've all heard the term mesmerized or mesmerizing.
Yes.
And where that actually comes from is during the early spiritual movements or the spiritism movement, there was a doctor from England, Dr. Mesmer, and he was the one who really developed the technique for hypnosis. And it wasn't called hypnosis back then. That term was developed later. It was originally the Mesmer technique, and you were mesmerized. So it's just
that is interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting
tidbit. I like
tidbit.
The word. It's a great descriptive word now. It's just become part of our vernacular.
Right, and again, that was during the spiritualist movement, and he was a doctor who used hypnosis. That hypnosis was a big part of contacting the dead back then.
Wow.
So just an interesting tidbit I came across while in my reading. You know, I figured I'd share that with everybody.
It's very interesting. I love the roots of words, things like that, you know, and I can go into that, you know, the whole thing about where we got a bunch of phrases. There used to be, I'll play this, I'm going to do it real quick, and some of my friends have heard this 10 times because they know how much I love this stuff, but there was the whole time where back when people used to drink out of lead goblets, and they would end up getting lead poisoning, and lead poisoning led to slow heart rate and such, almost to the point where you observed that person and it looked like they were dead. Well, they would go, oh my God, this person died. Let's throw them in a casket and get them in the ground because, you know, back then they didn't have good preserving methods. So quick as possible and throw them back in the ground. And they would go and dig up some of these graves and find scratch marks on the insides of the casket because the person actually was buried alive. So what they started doing was tying a string on the wrist of the deceased, and they would bury them, and they would run the string from the grave up to a little bell, and they would have a graveyard shift, observe the graveyard, and if the bell rang, you were saved by the bell. And if the bell did not ring by dawn, you were a dead ringer. That's where those phrases came from.
Nice.
Yeah, and then after, of course, also before that, when people used to wear hats and they used to use lead to secure the hat to size it properly. So all hats had lead bands in them, and then during the summertime, you'd sweat and the lead would leach into your blood system and you'd go crazy. And that's where the Mad Hatter came from, because he had lead poisoning. He was crazy.
Nice.
I love that stuff.
Never heard that before. That's great.
Oh, yeah. I've got more, but I'm not going to bore people with it. I just think it's fascinating. We get these phrases. They come from somewhere. So whether it's coined by someone or it was slang that turned into something like mesmerize, it's really interesting, that whole study. And I don't know what the word is for that. But on to our next subject. Coming up next, I've got an interview with Blair Murphy of the Grand Midway Hotel. This is the coolest hotel. It's in Wittenberg, Pennsylvania. And it's just a big old hotel with a lot of paranormal activity and a lot of character, including the owner. He's a great and very interesting person. Stick around for the interview with Blair Murphy in the Grand Midway Hotel coming up next.
You know, it's really fascinating, though, you know, how many hotels have a propensity for being haunted. And I guess it's because so many, you know, life events have taken place in these hotels.
Well, all that energy in and out, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, and every hotel has obvious cases of people dying, whether it be from natural causes, unnatural causes, you know, whether it's a traumatic event. And then you have people who just love to travel and they're comfortable at hotels and, you know, and especially around some of the bars in the hotels. And it's amazing. Yeah. Yes, it's just amazing how
many bars, even bars. I'm not going to get into it, but we know bars can be extremely haunted just because of their clientele.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the thing is, you never hear about most of the deaths in hotels because most hotels don't want that publicly, you know, out there.
No.
But you could find it in the public records, you know, and we investigate some of these places and you do some of the research, you're amazed to find the history behind some of these hotels, which really does lead to obviously some of the hauntings. So,
the Grand Midway Hotel, which is coming up next, my interview with Blair Murphy, there's been some documented stuff there. Even Chip Coffee has been to the Grand Midway Hotel in what is dubbed the creepiest or most haunted bedroom in America.
And speaking of Chip Coffee, we had the pleasure of meeting him when we were down in Gettysburg, and he was such a nice guy. I can't tell you enough. He was beside doing his gallery reading, he was so interactive with the fans. And then when he really likes to work for animal charities. So what he was doing is he was having raffles for his scarves, because, you know, he's well known for his scarves. And that money was going to charity to help some of these canine foundations and whatnot that he works with. So he's just a really nice guy, you know, and I can't wait to see him again when we go to Parafest in Bethlehem. He'll be there as well. And you got that great picture of him and Jen together and me. So,
Yeah,
he was really fun to talk to. So he was, you know, he was there at the hotel. And I'm sure Blair will have some stories about the hotel that we're going to look forward to.
Coming up next, I've got an interview with Blair Murphy of the Grand Midway Hotel. This is the coolest hotel. It's in Wittenberg, Pennsylvania. And it's just a big old hotel with a lot of paranormal activity and a lot of character, including the owner. He's a great and very interesting person. Stick around for the interview with Blair Murphy in the Grand Midway Hotel. That's all coming up next on the Paranormal Pulse podcast.
Hey, this is Grant Wilson of Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to the Paranormal Pulse.
Good evening. I'm Chris Bruno, and this is not the average haunted hotel that we're going to talk about. The Grand Midway Hotel is an amazing destination for paranormal investigators, movie buffs, magicians, eclectic artists, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. To help us understand the ins and outs of the Grand Hotel just a little bit more, it's well over 130 years old. I have Blair Murphy with me. He's the owner of the Grand Midway Hotel in Wittenberg, Pennsylvania. That's what I'm saying that correctly, right? Good evening, Blair. Thanks for joining us on the Paranormal Pulse.
Certainly. It's a pleasure to be here.
Did I say the name of the town correctly?
Wittenberg's correct. It's actually the name Berwyn,
flipped because the Berwyn family basically built it as a company town for coal mines about 100 years ago.
There's so many mining towns in Pennsylvania. I used to live in the Scranton area, and there's just outside of there still has some of those mines on fire underground. Do you have any of that near you?
Like Centralia, which is on fire? No, that's not here so much. But there's tons of mines that are sealed off. There's 14 miles of mines below us in this community, and they're two levels. So it's not just like there's floors, and it's pretty wild, really wild actually. I'm not from here, and the more I learned about the mining history, I didn't even know coal miners still existed. So when I got here, I was like, wow, that's neat. And when it first started, when this community first was built, it was like the Wild West with prostitutes and bar fights and it's got a fascinating history.
All these towns on the East Coast, especially the mining towns, are very interesting. I myself live in a mining town out in Sussex County, New Jersey. So we've got some history in Ogdensburg and Franklin, kind of similar in that respect. But so we've got a little history of the town, but how about a little history of the hotel? I understand you purchased the hotel with a few friends off of eBay.
Yes. A musician out of New Orleans named Damien Youth, and who is very talented. He plays each year for Anne Rice's Memnock Ball at Halloween, and pretty big in the underground scene. He called me and he wanted to get out of Louisiana for a while, and I was living in Los Angeles. I wanted to get out of L.A. and his wife had found this piece of property on sale on eBay for $11,000.
Wow.
A week later, found myself living in, we didn't really care where we were relocating to. It just sounded like an interesting adventure. So that's how it happened.
It does sound like an interesting adventure for sure. So you decided to buy this hotel. You all lived there together. Was it just the two of you, three of you?
It was when they had a little girl too, an infant. So it was the four of us for the first couple months. And then we started to approach other artists and somebody moved in, a DJ relocated from Chicago, and a couple of people came in, and it started to form a little tribe.
That's very cool. I mean, this is a huge hotel. This is, like we were saying before, it's over 130 years old. You have over 32 rooms in the hotel?
That's correct. Got a bar and all in there, an old bar that's big, actually. It's not even like a small bar. It's massive. They were in a tenth place down, so we got it for the song, but it took a lot of work in the beginning. The first year or two was just about survival, really.
Oh, sure.
To win everything.
I was looking at your website. That's GrandMidwayHotel.com, if anybody wants to take a look at that. Real easy to get to. And your Facebook page, same thing, Grand Midway Hotel. And the website is extremely informational and thorough. And I was just digging through the first floor and the pictures from the first floor and the amazing art that's there. But this whole hotel, you've had some paranormal activity, I understand. You even had Chip Coffee out there. And he's a psychic and medium, pretty reputable from the show Psychic Kids and Paranormal State. And he visited the one particular room, the canopy room, room number 3. And you, back to the eBay thing, decided to put up what has been called the creepiest bedroom in America up on eBay for a one-night stay. Obviously not the faint of heart to stay there, but how did that auction go?
Well, it went great, actually. It was kind of a lark or almost a dare. I've kept the place, it's a private home, so we're not really open for business.
Sure.
And I've kept it pretty exclusive. And we've gotten a lot of high-end people have come here in the paranormal world. You mentioned Chip Coffee. The Paranormal State wanted to use this place for their pilot episode, actually, their first episode. And it didn't exactly work out for the way they wanted to come out of the gate, because I wasn't scared, and they wanted someone that they could kind of rescue a bit.
Sure.
So I just didn't fit the pattern they needed. But then the Haunted Collector came here and shot, and
right.
Ghost Adventures was called, and they're trying to put together sometime possibly in this next summer season to come here and shoot, and Exorcist Files shot here. So we got a lot of attention, and so I had somebody sleeping over one night, and they said, I want to sleep in that creepy room, the canopy room, which is a particularly spooky room. And I would say it's the most paranormal-related room, I think, of all the stories in the building. Certainly I get the most reactions from people, even that don't know any stories, that just sort of step in and go, I don't like this room. So I had someone sleeping in there, And we made a joke. We were saying, like, we should put this on eBay and just see what happens if we rent it out for one night. And because I don't want to be an open hotel, but we did that for one night. And I got 20-some thousand hits on Facebook. And the bid just, we started at a dollar because it wasn't really about money. And that shot to $450 for one night. And then I got a sea storm of emails from crazy people out there all begging me, like, no, I have to do this. So it ended up being a lot larger than I was anticipating, but it was fun, and good stories, and so.
It's great exposure for what you're doing there. I mean, obviously, it is a private residence, so we don't want people just going knocking at your door and asking to stay. But what a cool thing that you did with the room. Honestly, that's how I found you. I have a friend of mine, Russ, and his friend Tony that live out in the Pittsburgh area. And Tony apparently knows very well your area and frequents it. I just found it so fascinating, went up to the website and then saw what you've got going on there. And it's not just about the paranormal stuff. Although I want to get back to that real quick. You had a great, great auction that obviously they haven't scheduled yet, I assume.
Well, it hasn't happened yet, but they actually, I have been in touch with them and two other people, the next bidders as well, begged and came forward. And so that's all. It's all... I can't really go into the details of
no, that's fine.
My experience, but sounds good so far. It's all sort of turning into a positive experience for everybody involved. So
absolutely. So getting back to that room, though, I've heard and I've read actually on your site that there's something about that room in particular. I know people, strangers, I was reading some of the stories, and there was an Iraq or Afghanistan vet who came and, all of his experience, and yet that room in particular creeped him out, even though he has seen and heard things that none of us have ever wanted to see. And also that women are drawn to that room. They've actually requested to sleep in the canopy room. Was there anything particular that you've heard or seen as story-wise or history-wise that would make that sense for them to be drawn to that room?
Well, the building had a lot of prostitutes in it a long time ago. And so I'm always hearing people about, when like psychics don't really know who I am and I show them a photo and say, tell me something. I hear that pointed out a bunch. There's something about like women that were and whatever in this building in particular. And so something related to that room must have been, I don't know what. Chip Coffee said, I absolutely think it was a suicide. Some other guy that stayed in there the other night, he had a couple stories. Well, he doesn't even sleep in the building, so he sleeps in his car. And he had these visions of someone being killed in there. And I've even had people come tell me stories about different crimes that happened in the past long ago related to this building. There's even an unsolved murder at our back door where the case is still open and 50 years later, 60 years later. And so it could, every decade there's things stamping impressions on this place.
Sure.
As with any hotel, from so many people. And so this community was pretty brutal before unions came along and sort of kind of changed the laws of kids going in mines, and so it could be any number of things. And plus, we got a lot of weird stuff in there. The furniture is from another creepy source, and some of the items in there from yet another creepy source. And so I just sort of have a lot of stuff piled in there. It's hard to point to any one thing.
Oh, yeah. The building itself is just absolutely beautiful. And I also read somewhere even MTV Cribs was interested in your home. Possibly a future episode with hotel resident Kyle. Is that something that still may be in the works?
I'm kind of up for any. I mean, I have a movie background. I come from the Los Angeles film industry, so I'm sort of up for anything that has some integrity to it. Anyway, I don't want to fake anything at all.
Oh, of course.
In any way, but it's like people seem on the up and up, and it becomes an entertaining show, and I would be up for it certainly. So I'm open to pretty much any show that would approach. Another show actually bought. I can't go into too much detail, but I had shot some footage in the canopy room of a Ouija board gone really bad, and another TV show bought that footage, and so that's all secretive.
But that's interesting.
I can't go. But the footage is pretty radical. I was sitting right there, and I was thinking, these two friends of mine are certainly not faking this. This is something's really happening before our eyes in this moment.
We're just going to keep our eyes open for any kind of landmarks, anything that'll indicate it's that room. Then we can say, oh, there's the footage. So you were a filmmaker, a writer. You're still a filmmaker. You're a fascinating person all on your own with all of your kind of history. You come from a background in L.A., like you were saying before. You were working with Stan Lee of Marvel Films and cameraman for Prince. Interesting how you've jumped from one to the other to the other. Just the gothic thing behind all of your films is very interesting. And I think appeals to not just the paranormal, obviously, but also to those classic movie buffs, because you've got a lot of that kind of influence in your work. Tell us more about your films, because you've got a whole slew of them listed on your site, and I think that they would be really interesting to our listeners to hear about.
Well,
something you're proud of the most.
my father was a filmmaker, and my grandfather as well, but not in Hollywood. And so I kind of had, I've always cameras around and all that, and that influenced me a lot. And he was a funeral director by trade, so I was raised in a funeral home. And so that sort of combined cameras and dead bodies and coffins and, you know, it all sort of swirled together in some kind of soup that made me, as a child, I loved Dracula and anything like that. And and that just made that, in a nutshell, made up who I ended up being as an adult. And then I was in Hollywood, and I had some pretty cool jobs and worked with a lot of famous people and made a feature film. My first feature film was pretty young when I launched it. It's not the best film, but it was a noble effort. It's called Jugular Wine.
Okay.
And then, you know, the film industry is like a rough trade. It's glamorous, but there's a lot of people that are kind of, it's not all enchanting. You know, like there's a lot of scumbags and if you hear about the music industry, you just stamp that on the film industry too. It's like that.
Yeah, it's
I really
the same.
Got cynical for a while. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it at all. And that's part of I needed a break, and that led to me kind of, I sort of started to see filmmaking as akin to spell casting, and you're creating something and you're summoning energy and you're sending it out there and you're influencing other people. And so I kind of got pretty heavy into magic as well.
Okay.
And it re-enchanted my world. Then I started thinking, well, I can make films anywhere. And I really fell in love with film again. And that's when we ended up at this place. I didn't have a clue that I was buying a place with such a paranormal soaked background. And after I got here, everyone was like, oh yeah, no wonder, that's why no one wanted to buy it for years. And
sure.
It got empty since the early 70s.
Wow.
But to Damien and I, it was a bonus. We loved it. We just loved that it was like this.
It sounds like it's definitely to an advantage for you with that filmmaking background. And for you, I mean, I can't imagine a better canvas for all the art and for, a background for any kind of film that you want to shoot. You've got a set right there.
It's been an adventure. I almost feel like this building called us. Like when people talk about poltergeist experiences, having a mutual relationship with individuals.
Sure.
I just feel like the building itself has a character, and that this Damien, my buddy back then, and I were just right to land in it. And now it's a blooming, completely different place, whereas before they were going to tear it down.
No, this is it's wonderful. I mean, as I said, I was looking at some of the pictures online and the art that is throughout the building. There's that amazing mural on the ceiling and the dining hall. Is there anything in particular that means?
Yes, it's a take on the universe card from the Aleister Crowley tarot deck.
It's beautiful.
Not exactly the same.
No,
but it's
got
close.
That similar kind of style to it, and the colors are beautiful.
Yeah, the guy who painted that, he's a tattoo artist up the street, and he I was looking for a muralist, and he said, I'd like to get a stab at a different kind of art, and so that was a first for him, and it was a massive undertaking. I mean, it's like a little Sistine Chapel here in town. It's so massive.
That's what it looks like. It definitely looked like a masterpiece, a huge mural on the ceiling. That's the first thing I thought of. I also saw your front lobby you said you use as a screening room. Now, do you use that for personal use, or do you use that during any film festivals? It looked kind of small, but I mean, it's a picture, so I don't know.
It's like I said, it's a private building. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of events here. It's pretty ideal for, they're not necessarily open to the public. There's
right.
A wave of artists that come from Pittsburgh and New York and New Orleans that are it's like a network of artists, and they're not all gothic or paranormal. They're all over the map, and some of them are completely anti-gothic or anti-paranormal. They're, it's a real mix of people, but that's what the different rooms are used for, whatever particular event we're working on. And the screening room is just slides right into that, depending on if we're premiering someone's film or it's not large. It's not a big screen room or anything.
Right. It's really
cool. Popcorn and movies.
really cool building overall. So you have, of course, your own production company. It's Empire Films. That's your distribution company as well. Have you shot anything recently? Is there anything in particular that you would like to share with our listeners that you're working on?
Yeah. It's a little goofy because zombie films are a dime a dozen. But I was approached by a state official. We got some politicians now that are interested in this. And this guy was like, his name's Frank Burns, and he's a visionary in the area, and the area needs it. And he had some ideas of recreating the community. And so he wanted to create a film commission office, which brings distinction to an area. And you try to seduce Los Angeles to come here and make your movies here. And
sure.
So to get the ball rolling, I said, I'll shoot a reel of something here to show off a bunch of locations. And I'm friends with Butch Patrick, the guy who played Eddie Munster in The Munsters.
Nice.
He stayed here a few times. And so I said, Mr. Patrick, would you, be in this little reel that we're creating for this community? And it didn't really seem like it was going to go anywhere. And the second I put out word zombie, Pennsylvania went crazy. And there's so many, New Orleans is about vampires. Pennsylvania is like zombie central. And so I had all these volunteers and just kept expanding. And one day I was working on this and I realized this is going to turn into a feature film. And then I got some other celebrities to sort of lend a hand to it. And so now, I'm creating a zombie film right now. We call it Zombie Dream. And the biggest challenge besides the low budget is to give it distinction apart from, other the sea of zombie movies out there.
Sure.
That's the latest.
You know what? The zombie movies, you can't go wrong with right now. And if you're doing anything that you're around that hotel, it's just going to blow up. I'm sorry. It's going to be a huge thing. I think it's a great idea what you're doing. And they're very popular. Yes. Pennsylvania is zombie central, whether they like to admit it or not. I want to just address a couple of things that go on in your hotel that are what seem to be public events. I think you do open it up to the public on Thursdays for a coffee shop and bookstore type thing?
Yes. I had so many people like peeking in the windows and everything else that I finally said, okay, fine. I'll let people come snoop around one night a week. And so a girlfriend of mine at the time and I, we kind of launched this little, just a way for people to come in, get a cup of coffee and snoop around. And it's kind of more of a meeting place. Because it brings people out of the woodwork that are paranormal fans or other kinds of, that's not the most popular subject out here. And so
sure.
It brings in a cool crowd of people that are need a crowd, And so
right.
We do that every Thursday night from 6 to midnight. And every week, Butch Patrick just showed up here one night and you never know who's going to be here. And so it's been kind of neat crossroads-wise.
That is very neat. And so anybody who's in that Wimberg area, and you're not too far from Pittsburgh, is that correct?
That's correct. There's not normally people that are just hanging around here from afar.
Sure.
It's more of like someone's driving to Philly there's like people on road trips sort of sway over off the highway into my place, that sort of thing. But it's such a revolving door of them.
I'm really digging because if I go on a road trip, I'm definitely going to stop there at some point. I don't want to just show up, I see you have like a tarot card reader there. Is that Sin Burns, Mark the Magician? And something really interesting, an interesting concept. I have a lot of friends who are very Zen. And I saw the interesting concept on there of your instructor, a friend, Kimberly Massey, and a musician, Scott Massey, Black Yoga. Could you tell us more about that?
Black Yoga. Okay, so I think it was a couple months back, I was grumbling about, I need something new today. I'm always trying to, what will enchant me and outdo yesterday? And a friend said, someone just started doing Black Yoga. And it instantly got a couple magazine articles on it. And so I just thought, this person's perfect. They got to meet me. And I rushed out to this yoga class. And the lady, the instructor was like, I don't like waterfalls and butterflies. My husband's a heavy metal musician. And so you turn out the lights and there were candles on and the music was like this throbbing, whole different kind of yoga class. And we were a perfect match. Like the next couple weeks later, showed up here and we had a class with 40 people and all in black and black yoga mats, and it was pretty radical, and so it kind of caught on, and I'm real happy to be associated with it. I like her a lot, and we're all good. So I don't know that much about her class there. She's based in Pittsburgh, but she's growing fast. I think other yoga people are, if nothing else, are just talking about it like, well, what the hell is it? Or something new in the yoga world, you know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, black yoga is definitely almost a contradiction in terms on how it works. Well, so we've got...
It went great, though.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm sure that there's a huge population that would really embrace that. I mean, not everybody wants to be Zen.
You know, I had all these people here in this class that were people who would never be in a yoga class, wouldn't even, you know, do a push-up, and the heavy metal guys with beards and
that.
On, and they were, you know, doing these exercises, and it was a real blast.
That's great. I love that idea, and that's just, you know, another little bit that's totally different than what you would expect at this place. It's the Grand Midway Hotel, grandmidwayhotel.com. You can find it on Facebook as well. Blair, what an awesome time to have you here. I thank you so much for talking with me, taking your time out of, you know, the official happy World Goth Day. You're a busy man, and I appreciate your time. Look for Blair's movie, Zombie Dream, the old movie as well. Are you okay with us, like, looking it up for Jugular Wine?
Yeah, sure. I don't, it's not on the market now. It used to be in Blockbusters all over the country, but I pulled it from the market for a while, because it's not the best movie, and I wanted to, like, try to give it some intrigue and distance myself from it a bit, and then re-release it, you know, remaster it and all that. And so,
well, you know how people
that
love those.
That's a hard one to find.
People love those eclectic kind of movies. And if that's a hard one to find, I know a couple people that'll take on that challenge. Well, thank you again for joining us here at the Paranormal Pulse. I'm Chris Bruno. This is Blair Murphy from the Grand Midway Hotel. If you're passing through Winburg, Pennsylvania, definitely take the time and, you know, get in touch and see if you can stop by. It is a private residence. You just can't pop by and peek through the windows, but there's definitely some opportunity to check out this place. Thank you again, Blair.
Thank you. Thanks for the interest. I appreciate the support.
The Paranormal Pulse. Like us on Facebook at East Coast Ghost. That's East Coast with a K. Ghost on Facebook. And feel it for yourself.
Wow, Chris, that was a fantastic interview. I tell you, I learned a lot, and really fascinating person.
Thank you. Yes, Blair is a very fascinating person. All of his friends are. The building is amazing. And that interview just barely scraped the surface of what is the Grand Midway Hotel. That was my guest, Blair Murphy, talking with us here on the Paranormal Pulse podcast. And if you want to know more about the Grand Midway Hotel, you can check out our page on Facebook. It's the Paranormal Pulse podcast page. Like us, share us with your friends, and also you can always go to Blair's website. That's the grandmidwayhotel.com.
And now, folks, we just want to let you know that you can call us at 805-633-0935. Leave your questions there, your comments. You can send us a message on Facebook. You can comment right on our Podbean website. And you can direct message us. We don't mind, you know, just send your questions and comments there. And no, we'll address any questions or comments you have.
I would love to hear any questions or comments you might have for Blair as well, because Blair and I were chit-chatting, obviously. And I would love to take a trip out there, but I would love to talk to Blair again. So if there are any questions that are just you need to hear an answer from Blair about the Grand Midway Hotel or about himself and his background, please feel free to submit them to us the same way you would ask us a listener question. We'd love to hear from you. Anything about the show. Honestly, that's why we're here. We just want to interact with the community. It's cool to have you listening, of course. Share with your friends. Bring them in on the loop. Let us all have a good time together.
Well, I know we have a lot of new listeners, and they may not know where to find us, or should... Obviously, they're listening, so they know where to find us, but there are a lot of different options that they may not know about. So I'd like to tell everybody just about those options.
Okay. Oh, I'd like to say real quick, if there's an option that you don't hear after Lance is through, because there's a ton of them, and something that you would really love to hear us on, let us know. We'll strive to make it happen. So, Lance, what are the options to listen to the Paranormal Pulse podcast? I know there's a bunch.
Well, the first option, and probably the easiest if you just want basic listening, is right through our Facebook page. There's an app in the upper right-hand corner that you can just click on. It brings up a player on screen, and you can hear the current episode, and actually it has a few of the older episodes listed on there as well. Now, if you'd like more detailed information about what we're talking about, you can follow the link on our Facebook page right to our Podbean, which is our regular website, and on there you'll get a photo, you know, you'll get the artwork for the episode, you'll get a rundown of the episode, but right after the rundown of the episode, I like to put the links of what we're talking about. So, for instance, tonight we had the articles we were talking about. Those links will be there under the summary of the episode, as well as the links to Blair's website. And, you know, so if you do want to see those pictures, if you want to, you know, go to Blair's website and experience, you know, what the hotel has to offer.
It's amazing.
Yeah, you can go there. The website's fantastic. And the only way you're going to get those links is by going to our actual webpage. So that's another way. Now, if you're on the move and you're using your iPhone or iPad, you can get us right through iTunes. And again, you'll search us out on Paranormal Pulse Podcast. And you can subscribe to us. And what will happen is every time we upload an episode, it'll give you a notice. And you can just download the episode if you want to listen to it offline.
Or you can just listen to it on your way to work, like my friend Justin does.
Right. And that way you save on the streaming rates if you don't have unlimited streaming, you know, unlimited data plan. Or if you're like me and have an unlimited data plan, you can just listen to it streaming. Listen, I was grandfathered into that before they got rid of all the unlimited plans. So
shouldn't complain then. All right.
No. Then after
Do you have any problems with buffering during the show if you do it streaming?
No, I never have.
That's great. I've had that before, and it's not because I own a droid, because I like my droid. And I have unlimited data.
Well, speaking of droids...
But it happens.
Absolutely. But speaking of droids, there are several ways you can listen to it if you're a droid owner. Okay. The first is using Stitcher. And Stitcher's also for iPhone, too. But you can download the Stitcher app, and then again, you can find us on... You can search us out in Stitcher... Subscribe to us, add us to your front page, and what will happen is, again, as we update episodes and upload them, it'll give you a notification, and then you can, again, download them and listen to them at your, whenever you're ready. From there, we also have another Android app called Blueberry, BLUBRRY, and again, it's another podcast app. And what's nice about this one is it's also on TV on your smart TVs, whether it's the Samsung smart TV, whether it's Roku.
Really cool. Yeah, when or you any that, I went, wow, this is neat. You can listen in your house. You don't have to have your phone hooked up or your computer in the room, because honestly, all of my equipment is usually in one room. So if I'm out in the living room, washing dishes in the kitchen, whatever, I can listen on the TV.
Right, and a lot of people have moved to smart TVs and streaming media devices like Apple TV and that sort of thing. So you can download the... Actually, I apologize. It's not on Apple TV, but it's on all the others.
Okay.
And you can download that channel into your box, so you'll have that channel in your channel listings. And again, you can subscribe to us there, add us to your favorites, and again, as it updates... it'll update on there, and you can listen to us there. And what happens is if what's nice about that, if you're halfway through an episode and you have to leave the house, and you also have it on your phone, you can pick it up right where you left off.
Oh, neat!
Yeah, and so also
like those cool commercials where you can watch stuff in every room.
Absolutely, and for those who have a Roku player, you can go on. There's several websites, but I'll put the link on our page. Actually, I already have it up there once, but I'll put the link up again because it's probably buried deeper in the page now. And what that is for is a private channel. For people who don't know, you can add private channels that aren't listed in the Roku channel store by adding a code. You can get and there are a lot of channels out there. And what they are is in most of the cases they're new channels that they're testing before they go live on Roku, and one of them is the iTunes podcast channel. And I'll put the code up there. All you do is you go into the channel store and you enter the code there, and once your channels update, it'll hit your channel listing. And again, that's great for people who don't have an iPad and don't have an iPhone but do have a Roku device, because now it'll give you access to anything on the iTunes podcast. So that's great. I mean, I listen to a ton of shows on there. Besides having our show on there, I have like Kevin Smith's podcasts and stuff like that. There's a bunch of Star Wars podcasts and just a whole bunch of stuff. You know?
Sure. Well, there's so much to listen to, but obviously the first thing you want to listen to every night is the Paranormal Pulse.
Absolutely.
After that, hey, whatever you want.
So we want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we really do appreciate it. So again, any comments you have, any questions you have, but most important, we just want to thank you for listening each week. Our audience is growing, and we're getting some great feedback from you folks.
It's wonderful to get the feedback. It's wonderful to have you guys listening and to sharing with your friends and having them like the page and start to listen as well. We want you to share everything and anything paranormal. It doesn't have to just be about ghosts. Anything paranormal. We want to talk about it with you. And Lance, go ahead. You're killing me.
Well, I have on our next episode after this one, I will have a big announcement. And that's all I'm going to say. You're going to have to tune in to hear what the announcement is.
You're just mean. Thank you for listening to Lucky Number 13 bonus episode of the Paranormal Pulse podcast. I'm Chris Bruno. That's Lance Phillip.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Find the Paranormal Pulse podcast on Facebook under Paranormal Pulse Podcast. It's that simple.